we should probably get started.
Yeah, let's do it. I mean, that's not the way that we start, because okay. We got, like, say, like, some distracting off-topic conversations, then Nick's got to break in and say...
Hello, and welcome to the world of Pokemon. My name is Nick, but these guys call me their Game Master, and you are listening to Pokemon Rollout, a real-play Pokemon tabletop United RPG podcast. What's your name?
I'm Paul, and I play Charlie Hocus Pocus Super Focus Pine.
I'm Michael, and I play Professor Rudimentus Mess Around for 20 Minutes Sneeze.
And I'm Lydia, and I play Liliana Pancake Platypus Shadow Garden.
Elizabeth, when you hear this, yes. When it releases in like 3 years, or when... That's an over-exaggeration, wow. But... Or when you just catch up to us in 3 years, you will look back and you'll think, what the heck, or laugh. I'm not sure which.
Probably both.
Probably both, yeah. Mm-hmm.
Hopefully both.
Yeah, yes. That makes sense.
You have just left the area where people are kind of gathering together to deal with a Ravager Pokemon, and you're heading towards the desert.
The desert.
Sounds delicious.
I would like a tiramisu for my dessert.
Ah, is that to say? I don't think there are any deserts in France, so I don't know what you're talking about.
Sacré bleu!
So, according to your notes, Michael, I did not catch a Crobominable.
I do not have you listed as catching right. one. That doesn't mean you didn't.
Well, I also didn't record it, so...
You know, you did not manage to convince the Crobominable to go with you.
Oh, okay. The convincing,
that's
I
what
see.
I was,
I'll throw a little better convincing check next time.
Well, you went for a charm check about climbing tall things, and it wasn't quite high enough for it to go, but there are trees here, and it was okay with that.
Oh. Mm-hmm. Gotcha. Yep.
I'd also like to note that as we're on our way to the desert, Liliana's been kind of mulling over what Duke said about that, like, he could tell who we were and that, like, we're really not being that sneaky. And so she's like, okay, how can I be sneakier? I've already got the look. Like, that's down. I'm already trying to, like, lower my voice a little bit. So that's different. My name is different. And then it hits her and she cringes and she turns to Professor Sneeze and Charlie. I don't know why I blinked out on your guys' name for a second. She turns to them and she's like, guys, I think I have to change my persona. I usually am pretty, you know, down to earth and very like level-headed, but I think I need to like really kind of tune into my inner Charlie or something and just be completely different. I think we have to like change more of who we are. And I think I have to smile more. And she does like a very like crooked smile, and you can tell that it's just really, really hurting her face.
Charlie winces.
No, you don't need to do that. Lilia, you can keep working on it, Liliana. We're here for you.
Okay. I'm gonna try.
Charlie starts walking in the direction of
opposite direction. Oh no.
The opposite. No.
That's where Charlie
this
is walking.
Charlie. The other way.
Yep. My bad. Okay, here we go.
No. Not Charlie. Yeah. It's Ike.
Ike.
Remember, Gramps.
Ike. It's this way.
Okay. Charlie does take a moment. He like looks around. And is like. But I know why we're like hiding and stuff. But like, guys, look around. Look, he points around. Like, looks like to the desert ahead of us. Like, it's just us. There's no one. They're not gonna notice us. Like,
at that moment, two things happen.
Oh no!
Great, awesome.
In the first place, you see a flash of purple light nearby, like someone discharging something, and followed by a crashing noise. And number two, seconds after that, a sandstorm blossoms out of that same place and just blankets the area.
Hmm.
Well, should we go that way?
Take cover!
Oh, take cover. Charlie's like, well, should we go that way?
Well, I'm saying there's a sandstorm coming. We want to burrow down or something. I don't know. How do you survive a sandstorm?
Sandstorms happen all the time. You just take a tick every time and, like, I don't know. I think I might have got glasses or something that might help with that.
Until you die!
Well, like, you just drink some potions and stuff, you know.
Yeah, you drink them, not spray them.
Exactly.
That's your reply.
This is what I've been saying the whole time.
Oh, no.
But I'm the weird one at the... I can't think of words. What it was? what was it called? Tournament.
oh no! Like to be clear,
the sand is already affected.
This is becoming more and more like a Chan versus D thing in my mind. Like the D drink their potions because that's the healthy way. The Chan are like, no, it's an applied thing. Come on, guys.
It's topical. It's topical.
You bunch of weenies.
I'm going to roll a survival check on this sandstorm. See what we need to do. That is 12.
Okay. With a 12, you know that the severity and suddenness of the storm means that this is not a natural event. This is a Pokemon using sandstorm. The thing is to take cover to get something to protect especially your eyes or extremities. Or else let it blow itself out in about 30 seconds.
Ooh, I've got my helmet thing that I'll press the button on at my collar so I can shield my face.
So she does have the helmet that shields her. The goggles I thought did that. Well, there are some goggles that do it. But
Charlie has dark vision goggles.
Yep, so those ones are not designed to be fully sealed and covering. So while they would... They seem like they'd have some mitigation. Unfortunately, what they actually do is they trap sand closer to your eyes. It would be the old thing, like, once the sandstorm went down, that you'd lift them up and sand would pour out.
Charlie puts on his dark vision goggles.
Of course. Okay. They begin to fill with sand.
Curiosity's sake, what would happen if I sent out Shmoopy and had her use Rain Dance?
Since it was a natural storm, it would cancel it.
And then make it rain.
And make it rain, yep.
And make it rain.
Or you could also have Archie come out and do cold light of fact and...
That's true, make it sunny.
I'm not saying like you want to use your special move on this necessarily, but... Rain might be better.
Well, it's a... Rain might be better.
Nick, quick mechanical question. Yeah. Are you allowed to tell us how much damage, like if we were in the sandstorm, like how much damage it would do?
It is a tick of HP at the beginning of your turn, which also means that if you're treating this as combat, or if you're bringing out a Pokemon to do it...
Then it would count as...
Then we would go down the line of taking... Because you would take a turn, because that's how long it would take for you to bring out Shmoopy and have her use Rain Dance. So you'd take one tick, but then she'd remove it.
Okay. I was just curious because, so like all of us have armor of some kind, and at least I'd have a 5 damage reduction with my armor, correct?
So it is not damage, not you're losing a tick.
Never mind then, okay.
Unfortunately, while armor is built for taking solid hits, it doesn't really help when there's sand being blown into all of your extremities.
Okay.
The same way that if you were in plate armor, you would probably die faster in a sandstorm, unfortunately.
That's funny. Good. Honestly, I don't know if I have anything that would protect me, and I don't love the idea of taking, 3 ticks?
You would take one single tick, and then Shmoopy would take her turn.
Right, I mean, like, if I didn't do that, it burns itself up. Wait, no, it would take 5 ticks. Yep. I don't like the idea of taking 5 ticks. That's half of my HP.
That is half of your HP.
Well, it's half of my HP, too, so, like...
It's half of everybody's HP.
That's true.
I'm going to plan to take out Shmoopy. And say, I'll tone this sandstorm down, and Shmoopy can make it rain, okay? And so by announcing this, I'm going to... initiate us into initiative order unless somebody wants to make something different
happen. That's probably the best plan of attack.
So then, Charlie, you would be up for doing anything. If you can think of anything to protect yourself besides putting on the goggles that are not sandproof.
I'm guessing if I, like, pull out my my lab coat, would that actually gain me any protection at all, or do I still just have to take my tick?
Since it's only for one round and you're not in the epicenter of the storm, like, you're not next to the Pokemon or really very near the Pokemon that use Sandstorm,
yeah.
I am going to allow creative solutions. Just like Liliana's helmet is technically not sandproof either, but since it's entirely covering, it will last for a round for her.
Thanks!
Taking shelter underneath your lab coat, I think, is acceptable for one round.
Alright, cool. Yeah, Charlie grabs his lab coat, throws it on, and, like, buttons up and kind of also, along with the dark vision goggles, wraps it around his body and, so yeah, he has a lab coat on and has the dark vision goggles on.
Lab coats have pretty thick weave, so you can see in there in the dark that you're inside of a lab coat, but...
I'm just imagining you right now, like, one of those kids that has, like, their jacket on backwards, and they're just kind of, like, have the back of the jacket over their head and are just kind of wiggling around the arms of the sleeves.
Oh, boy.
Yep.
There you go. Very nice, very nice. All right, Liliana, did you want to do anything?
I think I'm just going to have my helmet on.
Okay.
Call it good from there.
So you sealed on the helmet quick. Again, in both of your cases, you can both feel sand starting to break through the barrier that you've made. So you have that unfortunately uncomfortable feeling of sand gathering around, like, the edge of your neck, because that's where the helmet is. There, that's where the helmet's covering. And then, Charlie, you can, every once in a while, you feel like a sting of it, but it's not enough to deal damage yet. Professor Sneeze, it's your turn.
Shmoopy, come on out! We need you! So I'm going to take my tick, and bring out Shmoopy.
Shmoopy, are there any other Pokemon out at the moment?
I would think that Grunge is Grunge and Ruse.
Archie would probably be out.
Katana is hanging out in Charlie's, like, out and around Charlie, but she's also a Steel type, so, I mean, unless the PTU rules are different, like...
Yeah, when you covered it, Katana kind of looks at you like, what's wrong?
Oh, yeah, exactly, yeah.
Yeah, so she's got no deal, but that means that unless Archie, Ruse, and Grunge, why am I brain not working? Archie, Ruse, and Grunge, unless they can find a way to protect themselves, they're each going to take a tick as well.
Can Archie just, like, pop into the Pokeball?
Yes, so
using
Archie can...
one of his... tail hands?
Yep, so Archie brought himself back into the Pokeball then. That works.
Okay.
That's probably a good idea. I'm going to be boring and copy Michael.
Okay, so you bring them both back in?
Yep.
Or they both go back in? Okay, perfect. So then, yes, so you take your tick, then that means it is Shmoopy's turn, and Shmoopy takes a tick of HP. Wait, Shmoopy's a ground type.
Shmoopy is a ground type.
Yep.
So Shmoopy does not take a tick of HP, but then you...
but... And Shmoopy, use Rain
Did
Dance!
Did I take a tick with my covering, or am I okay?
No, you are okay. Cool. What I was saying is, like, next round you would start taking ticks regardless. It was like, it was a makeshift covering.
But gotcha.
This round you protected yourself. So,
understood.
Shmoopy uses Rain Dance. All right.
I can keep track of the rounds for rain.
Perfect.
If that helps you.
That will help, so thank you. So, Shmoopy does, like, the little undulating wiggle, and... the sand stops. Can I get a perception check from everyone?
Yep.
Nope.
Yes.
All right, then you don't see anything. You go suddenly blind. Is this what you wanted?
I got a 3, so I'm
ready. Oh, well. All righty, then.
Shmoopy got 8.
Nice.
I got 14.
I got 18.
Charlie and Liliana, you both notice in kind of the moment as the sandstorm dies down or before it starts raining especially, you see, arcing over where the sandstorm was, there is a large, what looks like black and white or gray and white bird that's kind of circling the area. Some sort of bird-type Pokemon that seems to be there, as well as what looks like far too much frizzy red hair. On the ground in front of something there. There's also a purplish shape that looks reptilian and possibly dangerous. And you see kind of those that are kind of all circling around or looking at each other, and then the rain comes in, and immediately after the rain comes down, there is a loud kind of roaring shriek of something that is very unhappy with the fact that the sandstorm was interrupted. We are back at the top of the round, which means it is Charlie's turn. You guys want to respond to any of that?
Yeah, Charlie goes, hey guys, look, there's some Pokemon over there. There's a gray bird thing and some sort of a purple reptilian thing. And my memory's really... I'm looking right at it, but I completely forgot what it was.
Now that you show it to me, Charlie, it looks like a bunch of red hair.
Way too much red hair.
I think you've got some sand in your goggles.
I say the red hair is in the shape of a person.
Can't Charlie take off his night vision goggles?
Charlie wears his night vision goggles at night.
In the day.
I mean, that's when you'd wear it.
In the day. Can I roll a Pokemon head on all these things we're seeing?
It's from a distance, and they're pointing it out to you, and it's raining. So from this distance, sure.
I can't quite make it out. Let's get closer.
Well, yeah, duh.
Okay, so Charlie is up, then.
Charlie goes closer.
Okay, with a move action, you're able to get into closer range. What you see is the large gray and white bird is... It has a circular head with a hooked gray beak, a roundish eye in there with a kind of round gray pupil. Its wings are wide and oddly flat looking, and they have different markings, but it's all in kind of grayscale or black. And then there are similar markings and signs all on its body, which is roughly bell-shaped, but it is all in gray and white and black as well. There is a black feather coming from a large black feather coming from the back of its head and stretching downwards. And then it has two large kind of stretched oval feet that again are dark gray with white on the front and back of them. So on the tips on either side of them. And it's flying around there and kind of looking down at the whole bunch of red hair. You realize now is a person. It is a young woman you think might be younger than you, Charlie, and definitely shorter than you. She's not quite 5 foot, and seems smaller there. She has huge dark circles under her eyes like she hasn't slept in quite a while. Speaking of the eyes, as you look at them, your mind gives you basically back an error message as you try to get the color of the eyes. For some reason, they're just not sticking in your head. She's got a big gray jacket that's just a little bit too big for her, that's kind of flapping around in the new wind and the rain. Her hair, like I said, huge, frizzy red hair that's coming down about to her waist and is just out there and being plastered down. Underneath the gray jacket, she has a white t-shirt with some sort of logo or design or something there that you don't really recognize. And then jeans. Her hands are hidden underneath the bigger folds of the gray jacket. And she seems to be kind of looking up at the bird, between the bird and the Pokemon, the other Pokemon that she there, that's crouching in front of what looks like a small cave. Looks very unhappy. It's kind of a darker blue. It's purplish, but it's more of a dark blue, maybe an indigo. It has dark blue on its top, light blue on the underside, but then there is a bright red on its belly from the middle of its abdomen to its bottom jaw. It has two like wing-like arms with two claws on the end of it. Two almost weird like football-shaped protrusions on either side of its head, something like horns. And then it has two fins on its back, one near the center and one at the end of its tail. It has spikes on the front of its thighs, and then three sharp claws on each foot. And then its eyes, which are kind of glaring at this, they're black with gold irises and then black pupils. And it seems to be glaring at this girl and up at the creature as well. You do have a standard action if you want to do anything.
I'm trying to decide how good Charlie is at reading his situation, because I think Paul knows what's going on. Well, I honestly have no clue what the Pokemon are. I have maybe a hint about the bird, the blue reptile thing. I'm not clicking in my head.
I know more than Paul.
And then Nick gives the answer, and Michael's face just goes,
oh.
Yeah, Charlie's not gonna do anything as far as an action goes. Alright, guys, I think it's okay. It's just a lady playing with her Pokemon. It's alright. Let's keep going.
As you say that, the bird and the reptile move almost in unison. The bird up above, it flaps its wings once and then again, and as it flaps them down, there is a ghostly wail as wind comes flying out and down towards the reptilian creature. So it flaps down, which flies through this reptilian creature and hits it not terribly hard, but pretty hard. So it kind of staggers back from that, but even as it staggers back, it pulls a bunch of sand that had just fallen out of the ground and basically lobs it up at the bird creature. Just the sand and ground that's going up, and strikes out, but the bird manages to flip out of the way at the last seconds. And land there, and it's still kind of sitting there and still growling at everything. Liliana, you are up if you want to get closer as well.
Yeah, I'm going to get a little closer, and from where I'm standing, would I be able to do... Well, tell me if this makes any sense. Would I be able to do a medicine check to see, like, what state the girl is in? Or is that something that I would need to get even closer to be able to do?
Go ahead. Like, you're doing, like, a once-over to get, like, a general idea of her medical state?
Yeah.
Okay, mm-hmm. Go ahead.
Okay. 19 medicine ed.
19 medicine ed. Okay. The girl who you're getting at is probably in... It's hard to tell because of the other things you're getting. She's in her early to mid-teens, you'd guess, but she seems to be suffering some mild signs of malnourishment, definitely made some decent lack of sleep, and there's also something off about her coloration. It's not any sickness that you know, but it also doesn't look like a human that you know of is supposed to look. So there's something very... Okay. Odd about it. But at okay. the same time, the way she's acting, the way she's moving, she seems perfectly healthy. So it's like you're seeing signs of something, but they're also being contradicted by other signs.
I'm trying to think if I want to release anyone at this time. Well, could I also do a Pokemon Ed still on my turn?
Go right ahead with Pokemon Ed.
Okay.
Much like talking is a free action, most education checks are free as well.
Well, it's probably not going to do me any good. I got a 5.
Well, the bird Pokemon might be a flying type, since it's flying, you'd think. And the reptilian type, well, since you're this close to the desert, maybe it's ground type?
It's a reptilian type Pokemon.
Mm-hmm. Reptilian, well, you know, there's all sorts of Pokemon that have reptilian. There's a lot of poison types that are reptilian, so maybe it's that one.
You guys, this one is purple!
Best part is, I said that, then I looked it up on Bulbapedia, and the first thing it said is primarily blue.
I'm just kidding, I think it's blue. That one is flying, though.
Yeah. I looked at it, I'm like, this Pokemon's purplish. But...
Wait, so hang on, let me get this straight. We have a reptile type against, like, a bird type? Like, the bird type, the deleted type from Gen 1 games?
Yes,
yes,
precisely.
The bird type and the reptile type.
That's it. That's precisely it.
Is reptile type super effective against bird type? I don't know.
Nah, it depends. It depends on the relative size of each, because they kind of eat each other depending on where you are.
I don't know. Let me check my PAL dex. Side note, I don't know anything about PAL world, and also it's not going to be relevant by the time the show comes out, so sorry for the dated reference, guys.
That's what we're all about.
Are you sending anything outdated references yet?
No, not at this time, because what I did was really not helpful. So,
all right.
I'll just hang back here for now.
No worries then. Okay, that means it is Professor Sinise's turn.
All right, I'm going to pick up Shmoopy and run. And I did look at the rules while it was not my turn to check my power against Shmoopy's weight. Shmoopy weighs about 66 pounds. My power is 5. Heavy lifting for 5 is 60 to 90 pounds. So I can carry Shmoopy and run and make it up there.
You're carrying a large dog and moving it.
Pretty much. Yes, because Shmoopy is quite large, 2.5 or almost 3 feet high. So it's like carrying a tall toddler. I have no experience with that. and I'm gonna run up to see what everybody else is looking at.
Okay. What rolls do you want?
And I see. I'll roll a Pokemon Ed.
Professor Sneeze rolls up or runs up to Liliana and she just points in the air and goes, bird, bird, bird.
It's a 21, so tell me about the Garchomp and the Zatu.
In point of fact, it's a Gavite, not a Garchomp.
Oh, shoot.
It is the second evolutionary stage, not the third. Important thing with Gavite, it is, so Dragon Grounds type. Fierce and predatory Pokemon. It can move at extreme speeds. Has very sharp teeth. It can emit ultrasonic waves through the little protrusions on either side of its head. Very territorial, and will fight out against people to protect its home. It is very, very passionate about shiny things. And in fact, as you're looking and as you're all getting closer, you can see glitters of something in like the cave behind it. It's actually known that if you give a Gavite something shiny, it will become docile for a short while because it's just so excited about the shiny thing. Not for terribly long, but for long enough to like inspect it or look at it. One other kind of weird thing that you've heard of from Gavite is their scales are believed to have medicinal properties. In fact, the ability to heal most illnesses, even incurable ones. That's at least the rumor behind them.
Let's harvest its body.
Did we just turn into a monster hunter?
that was not Sneeze.
We all know Professor Sneeze is pretty good about killing stuff at this point.
Out of character.
Oh boy. Very blasé about killing things, I see. Working with that in there. So yes, the other Pokemon that you see on the field that you do not know is a Zatu. But the thing with it is it looks like a Zatu in the old black and white photographs that you've seen of Zatu.
No, I thought they were colorful, but I guess, you know, they actually match the black and white.
Right. The thing is, like, shifting colors or strange, unique colors is one of the most common mutations or different mutations in Pokemon, so it's not far out of the pale, but a completely monochrome Pokemon is rare enough to be a unique find.
I'm gonna just kind of play it here that Sneeze has never actually seen a Zatu and has only ever seen black and white pictures of Zatu, so that like he still it's monochrome, so it's surprising. It's like, oh yeah, I thought they were actually colorful, but I guess they're just black and white. That's interesting. That's unique among Pokemon.
There's nothing wrong here.
There's nothing wrong here. It's intriguing. I want to know more.
Yikes. Alrighty then. Okay. Are you going to do anything else?
I'm going to call down to the woman, presumably the trainer of the Zatu, and say, do you need any help?
The girl looks back to you and looks up at the Zatu, and you get the... You can't hear it over the storm and everything else, but you get the distinct impression that she is cursing under her breath.
This is a family-friendly podcast, young lady. You can't say that.
All right, well, Katana is still out, and she is up if you want her to do anything, Charlie.
Yeah, well, should we? Let's see here. And so, just so we're clear, does it seem like they're both, like, attacking and harassing her, or is it, like, the Zatu going after the Garchomp more so?
Literally, as you ran up, the Zatu hit the Gavite with an attack.
Gavite, that's... Yes, the Gavite. Okay.
Yes, I said the wrong one.
Still good guesses, though. Right on the money.
If it was a Garchomp, this would be a very different fight.
That would be very different.
Katana, I'm not quite sure what's going on here, but we might need your help, especially against that. Charlie kind of squints a little bit. Oh, That, I guess it does look like a very boring Zatu. All right, yeah, let's get ready in case you need to do anything. Let's autotomize.
Okay, so she's using autotomize, which gives her +2 combat stages. And her weight class goes down by 1, yes. Oh, her speed goes up to 19. Good to know. Young woman in with the frizzy red hair looks back at you all once again and goes, "People, Argent, leg it!" She runs. Double move action out.
What?
Pursuit!
I mean, you can. She's leaving. It's an interrupt.
I do have pursuit.
You do have pursuit.
Oh, no.
I'm interested.
Are you going to use pursuit and be running malnourished child?
Wait, so Liliana has pursuit?
Liliana has pursuit.
Liliana has pursuit.
Oh, dude.
Like, Ruse isn't out, so it'd be Liliana.
Can I do pursuit without hurting someone?
Not without hurting them. You can do it at, I mean, you can do it as non-lethal damage. It doesn't exactly come up at the moment because you're not.
Oh, man. I don't really want to, like,
be lethal, but.
Wait, are you telling me that Sneeze? Are you telling me that Sneeze could have chosen to do non-lethal damage this whole time?
In the heat of battle, it is a deliberate choice.
Whoops.
And there would be penalties in a life or death battle. Also, hyper beam's exempt. I'm sorry, you cannot you cannot tone down a hyper beam. There's no dial for that.
Just set your hyper beam to set beam to stun.
Set your hyper beam to stun.
Alright, so is Liliana using pursuit? She certainly can.
No, but how close is she to this girl who's running away?
Since you ran up to it, you are, I would say you are within a move action, so you're within 6, but she's double moving away, so after her turn, she is 18 away from you, so that's 3 move actions.
How fast can I?
6.
So she's faster than me.
Just as fast, but yes.
But you can you can't double move and throw.
Nope.
I was gonna say, like, yeah, because then your throwing range, you can throw something in front of her, but.
Yeah. I'm not gonna do pursuit.
Okay.
Chicken.
But.
If you're not doing pursuit, then you're not doing an interrupt, so this will be at your next turn, not this turn.
Gosh dang it. Okay, yeah. Never mind then.
That's the, like, you can either do this as an interrupt or you have to wait your turn.
We might turn.
All right. So she said that and ran off. Does Shmoopy do anything?
Yeah, I'm gonna say, Shmoopy, hit that Gabite with a water pulse just to keep it from doing anything. That's a 17, so confusion.
It's okay.
46 water special.
46 water special damage. That did 36 water special damage.
Ooh.
Which is just enough to give this Gabite an injury.
Oh.
Because of the earlier attack on it, too. So it gets hit by the water pulse and kind of gets knocked back a hair and just kind of shaking. You can see that it's a little woozy enough, but now it's turned its attention to the three of you.
Hold on. It's rainy.
It is rainy.
So +5 to that damage.
Okay. That's still enough to give it one injury. And it's still standing and everything. Okay. Yep, so it's going up and it's roaring now and it's mad at you all. Immediately after that, three large stones, actually 4 large rocks come flying out of the cave. 3 of them hit Shmoopy. And so Shmoopy takes, in order, 26 rock physical damage. Then she takes 35 rock physical damage, 3-5. She takes 25 rock physical damage. These are 3 separate attacks.
Yes, thank you.
And the 4th rock misses entirely. You can also do a perception check to look deeper into the cave if you'd like, because now obviously there's something in there.
Yeah. I got a 6.
Okay. It's dark and rainy.
We round up with dividing things in half, right?
Yes, we've been rounding up. Defense, then weakness, resistance.
Took 26 damage.
From three hits, that's not that. Bad.
Well, it's all rock, and yeah. Snoopy takes half damage from rock.
So she just kind of and absorbs them. She looks like a non-Newtonian fluid for a moment as they all kind of hit. She goes...
You mean she wasn't already a non-Newtonian fluid?
You're not a Newtonian fluid.
Do Charlie or Liliana do perception checks to see deeper into the cave?
Yeah, let's do
sure.
it.
Sure. Together.
Are there Pokemon in there? I bet there's Pokemon in there. Let's see. Are there Pokemon eyes in there? Ooh, that's a pretty decent roll. That is 23 in perception.
23 in perception? All right, did Liliana roll?
I got 13.
Okay. Liliana and Charlie, you both see a cluster of four different, basically diamond or conical-shaped large rocks that you realize are rock-like Pokemon. They're gray with kind of light blue crystals clustered around the bottom half of their body. They have kind of this white that looks weirdly soft, rough around their top. What you thought were three different light blue crystals on the top, two of them blink, and you realize that there's two eyes and then another crystal there, and then it has two kind of oddly ear-like protrusions at the top there that kind of stick out of rock on the top of its head. There are four of them that are like that, all kind of slightly different, but mostly the same, and they're all clustered around something. Charlie, what you see is kind of an oval-shaped, you think it's a rock, but it's not quite, and it's a dark blue with a couple of light blue speckles on it. That's decently large, but not too huge, and it's oval or egg-shaped.
So, it's an egg then, right? Is that what you're saying?
Most likely.
Hey guys, there's, amongst other things, there's an egg in here. There might be protecting. I think it's protecting an egg.
One thing I forgot to mention until this moment, and this really was a forgetfulness, even though it seems like a perfect dramatic moment. Professor Sneeze, the Gavite is missing the notch on the back of one of its on one of its back fins that would designate it as male. This is a female Gavite.
It's a lady. She's a lady.
But we are back at the top of the round with that, with Charlie.
Is that something we say in character? Is that how that works? Alright. Alright, Charlie then is going to... So there's an egg in there. I'm gonna do a Pokemon education to see if I can learn anything about the Pokemon that are inside the cave.
Okay.
Yeah, I'm untrained on that still. That's an 8 in Pokemon Ed.
8 in Pokemon Ed. Okay. You think you've heard of rock-type Pokemon like this? The name might be Carbink, but you don't know much else besides that.
Yeah, we got these like rocky Pokemon in there. Something to do with cars or something. Do cars exist in this world yet?
You took a bus on the very first episode.
Okay, good. Since cars don't exist, only buses do. there's some Pokemon in there protecting an egg. So Charlie, being Mr. Obvious, says, "Hey, what if the Natu is like being mean and trying to like take the egg in there? Is that a possibility, guys?"
Should I roll a Pokemon Ed to see if that's something that I think is possible, that the Natu wants?
It would be an intuition. Intuition. Yep.
That is 3, 6, 9, 12, 17.
The Zatu is looking at its trainer, and the trainer is running away, so it's kind of hard to tell what their intentions were at this point.
Paul completely misread this whole scenario.
I don't know. That's all I'm saying. I don't know.
Wait. Charlie yells at the trainer, "Hey, like, is one of these Pokemon yours? Like, the sharky one, or like the fly one, or one of those your Pokemon?"
"I can't hear you, I'm running away."
Then how did you answer me? Charlie is going to...
the thing is, Professor Sneeze, with your insight check, you can tell that she did still hear him, but she's hoping that if she stays quiet, then he won't continue asking questions.
Mm-hmm. I'm kind of perplexed, because part of me was like, let's help the trainer, but the other part of me is like, don't take this egg in here. That's their egg. That's the Gabite's egg. Yeah, Charlie's like, yeah, I don't like, you should probably leave this Gabite alone. So, like, I'm gonna try and stop you now. And Charlie, uses, Confuse Ray on the, Zatu.
Roll to hit.
That is a... I missed it, but I believe that's a quattro. That's a four.
You say your words with your book and send up a thing of, like, mixed strobing lights towards the Zatu, which flips in the air and dodges it completely.
Aw, man, like... Okay, that was a good move, but, like, I wish you wouldn't have done that, man. Or lady. I think that's my turn.
Professor Sneed, so as we're getting this, this is the Zatu's turn. As it's getting ready to go, it kind of locks in and looks over all of you and shudders once. Professor Sneeze, you know from... I'll also take a occult education check if you want to know as well, Charlie or Liliana.
Ooh, I occult things. I'm a six occult.
I'm not even gonna do it.
Beast boy with the moveset of Raven.
And the... That is 30.
Wow. Nice.
I got six dice, so, like, you know.
Professor Sneeze, you know that Zatu are rumored to have visions of the future. Charlie, you know that the reason Zatu are known as very still Pokemon is because apparently they are constantly looking into the future with their right eye, and they don't move out of fear of making their future come true. So they usually don't see good things. And so it's staring at all of you, and it shudders once, and then it turns and swoops down towards its trainer. She kind of ran to be closer to it while farther away from you, swoops towards her, and as soon as it gets to her, hits her, there's a flash of purple light, and they vanish.
Wait, what did it say?
Professor Sneeze, again with your things, that was the move Teleport. With moving both of them means they couldn't have moved more than 4 meters away. Since they are not in view anywhere, there might be a tunnel nearby.
There might be a tunnel that they teleported into.
So, like, you're saying it's a tunnel that is not necessarily aware to us, so it might be a secret? A secret tunnel?
Might be a secret tunnel.
Unfortunately, there are no mountains nearby. But
secret tunnel.
Wait, what? Is that it? Does a whole episode? No way. Can't end like this. I'm just going to go and call management and what the.
Anyways, as you guys already know, this is a part one of a two-part episode here, and thank you for joining us this week. You can find us online at tapestryradio.org/Pokemon-rollout, on X at PokeRoll Podcast, and on Facebook, facebook.com/PokeRollout. Join our Facebook group, the Pokemon Rollout Taproom. As long as you're not a robot, we'll approve your request to join. There, you can join with the conversation with creators and fans and become a part of the Pokemon Rollout community. Also, follow our network on X at Tapestry Radio and check out some of the other great shows at tapestryradio.org, like Intermission, Michael in a Room with Scotch, Freddy Goes to a Podcast, and Us Play Fiasco. A special thank you to Rocco W. for our theme music, Electric Donkey Muscles, and feel free to check the show notes for the other music and sound effects used in this episode. Once again, I'm Lydia. But Nick can be found on X at PokeRollNick. Paul is on X as ProfSnag. Michael is also on X at MGLILIENTHAL. And I have X, but I don't use it, so don't follow me. I'm not interesting. You can follow me on Twitter at Behind Your Eyely. That's behind your EYELI. Nick, is my Eyely impression getting any better? Am I doing any good? I'm trying, man. I'm trying. If you like what we do here on Pokemon Rollout, tell a friend, retweet us, and especially please rate us on Apple Podcasts or wherever you get your podcasts. If you really like us, donate to us on Patreon, patreon.com/pokerollpodcast, and get some sweet rewards. Special thanks to our patrons, Dr. Audino, Kyle Albert, Peter Stadmuller, Andrew Case, Micah Greenspoon, David Harshman, Taylor Bonforte, Michael Askablood, Zach Parsons, Jeffrey Show, K.C. DeFritis, Froxus, Andrew Weil, Spencer Toole, Arming Sword and Buckler, Legendary, Starlink, Scotty Newton, Ursa 93, Terry Pfau, Julia Egan, Vincent Najarishan, Lauren Paulson, Nathan Hemmelgarn, Lance, Big Fat Nuke, Stephanie Reinauer, Wern the Patronizer, Autumn and April Art, Daniel Mabry, The Gaming Motion Artist, Magical Girl in Training, Justin Brennan, and Ricky Jenkins. You guys are awesome and we can't say thank you enough. We really appreciate all that you, the gentle listeners, do for us. Thanks for listening and we'll catch you later.
Yeah.
Just record what we spoke already?
Yeah.
Okay.
Don't be too loud or it could mess up the audio though.
Okay.
Like if you're gonna be loud, like lean back or something.
Okay.
Cause like watch this.
Ah!
Yeah. Like that. Too Don't much. Do that. That's too much. Let's do another take.
Why? It sounds funny like that.
Ah! Why are you like yelling? That.
Play it.
Don't
play
yell it. Into the microphone, though. It's a delicate baby. No, wait. That's not how it goes. I did so well. I got everybody's names in one take, and then I mess up the ending there. You guys are awesome, and we can't say it thank you enough. No, I keep saying that wrong. You guys are awesome, and we can't say it enough. Why am I messing up this part? I'm literally just reading it. Well, anyways, we really appreciate that all... Oh, my goodness.
Obscurantism and obfuscation.
Orally observed, gentle listener.
Gentle listener.
Gentle listener.
Gentle listener. Gentle listener.
Obviated objects of oblivion.
Obambulating about.
Offered unto
offered
you.
Offered unto you.
Offered unto you.
In the Tapestry Radio Network.
TapestryRadio.org.
From our fancy to yours.